So, like I always say, welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. Welcome to the program. Like I always say, every party has one. Every show has one. Every episode has one. What I'm talking about is that one guy who goes against the grain. That one guy who, even though all of us know something is a certain way, that one person will go the other way. Either because they want to be that contrarian or because they actually believe it. Case in point, this cat, at RobCast6, the one guy taking up for Pasquale's right now. Because why? Because every show has one. Every party has one. Every ep has one. Hey, Jim, Chuck E. Cheese pizza smacks. Well, six beers deep. The only reason why adults go is for the beer and pizza. Not because we enjoy being surrounded by snotty, hyper, and dirty-ass heathens. Hashtag Chucky. Dude, I mean, how many different ways did you contradict yourself in that? And lie. And you hashtagged Chucky? Listen, my guy. Chucky, is that actually you? Is this actually Chuck E. Cheese hashtagging himself? Hey, Chucky, is this you on a burner account? Yo, Chuck, are you pretending to be RobCast6? Hey, Rob, Chucky, even they know their pizza sucks. That's why they branded it Pasquale's during the COVID pandemic so people would not just buy their pizza because they knew nobody would. And what do you mean it smacks while you're six beers deep? First of all, what doesn't smack six beers in? And if you have to have six beers to enjoy something, how much can it smack? Quote, the only reason why adults go is for the beer and pizza. Prove to me, Rob, Chuck, that any adult has ever gone into a Pasquale's without a kid. That is why you go. You said it yourself, to be surrounded by snotty, hyper, dirty-ass heathens. That's why we go. I remember, you know, much like wedding season, there was birthday season, and especially when I was in the 818, and we all had kids at about the same time. It's not that we all had kids at the same time, but our friends were parents of kids that were the same age, so we all went to each other's parties. And how many of the parties were at Chuck E. Cheese? Why? Because of all that dirty, heathen-esque crap that they have there. You're telling me that you go there for the pizza and beer? There are 8 million places that have better pizza and beer. You find me one example of one adult that ever walked into a Pasquale's just for the beer, without a kid, without a party. I'm going to call you a liar. Just like they lied when they said they were selling Pasquale's pizza. Hey, Rob, let me say this one more time. They rebranded it and pretended it wasn't Chucky's because they knew nobody would buy the pizza if it was Chucky's, which is why they were selling it as Pasquale's. They admitted it themselves. Who are you taking up for here, Rob? But you got your tweet read, so you got that going for you. All right, so coming up later on this hour, in fact, next segment, Marcus Jones, Patriots corner slash kick returner, and he's even known to catch a pass or two. He had an amazing rookie year. That's coming up at 10:20. Then 1 hour from then, the Stammer, Steven Stamkos, Tampa Bay Lightning center. He of the 500 Club will be joining us. All right, so if you own something, you should be able to do essentially what you want with it. I would say that. Now, that's not necessarily the case because if you're an NFL owner, you can't just do whatever you want. You can't just hire whoever you want. There are certain practices that are in place that sometimes they even pay heed to. However, generally speaking, if you own something, you can pretty much do whatever you want with it because you own it. It's a pretty American principle, right? I mean, I think for the most part, unless you have some sort of civic obligation or it's a publicly traded company. If you personally own something, you can do what you want. So I'm kind of torn on this, but I will acknowledge it is Jim Irsay's football team. He owns the Colts. You could talk about how he came into possession of the Colts, but the fact of the matter is he owns the Colts. So effectively, he should be able to do almost anything he wants. Jim, we know what you want to do. We know you want to make that pancake flipping, high school coaching, hot take having, 1-7 blundering interim, the permanent head coach. We know you want to do this. We know you want to do it because you so badly want to be able to jam it up our backside. You so badly want to reach for your phone and just start thumbing out lava. You so badly want to tell us how much you know and how little we know and how right you were and how wrong we are. You want all those things. And you want to tell us that if we bet against Jeff Saturday getting a second interview from your team, then we lost again. He already warned us not to bet against this guy. Remember, he challenged us to bet against Coach Monday. Quote, love to see it.
You want to bet against this guy? Put your money down, people. Love to see it. Love to see it. You know, because I know what he's about, and so does Chris. And yes, there's a maturation curve. Shula was 32 years old. He had three nondescript years with the Detroit Lions before he took over the reins in 1963. No, the game is not different. We don't build rockets to go to Mars. We're not nuclear scientists. That is none of our jobs here. It's a very simple jobs that we do here.
Nick Sirianni comparing Jalen Hurts to Michael Jordan is laughing his ass off at Jim Irsay comparing Coach Tuesday to Don Shula.
Less thinking equals talent takeover.
So, yeah, you go ahead and you bet against this guy. Love to see it. Yeah, but if we did, we all got paid, Jim. He went 1-7. So anyway, this Adam Schefter tweet got everybody all hyped this morning. And I'm not sure why, since it's not any huge surprise, but, in fact, no surprise at all. But, quote, Colts interim head coach Jeff Saturday is scheduled to have his second interview today for the full-time head coaching job in Indianapolis, per sources. The Colts plan to conduct a second-round interview with 7 head coach candidates, per source. End of quote. The only surprising part about that tweet is Irsay is even bothering to go through the motions with the 6 others. Why? For who? For what? What's the point? We all know you know what you want to do. So just do it. It's your team. It's your team, Jim. And just to be perfectly clear, if it isn't already, Jeff Saturday is obviously the worst thing possible for Team Colts. Did he not prove that already? That wasn't a 1 or 2 game interim tryout or audition. He was there for 8 games. He won the first against the woeful Raiders. Irsay acted like they won the Super Bowl. And then he ripped off 7 in a row. Losses. So this got to be the worst thing for Team Colts. But he'd be one of the best things for team content. One of the best things ever. That's my squad. That's the only squad I ever root for. Team content. So once again, man, get it over with. Get it over with, Jimmy. Hire the man. You had it exactly right from the beginning. He's Don Shula 2.0. I mean, never mind that part where he went 1-7. Never mind that part where he had a negative 87-point differential in that audition. Never mind that that audition was half a season, nearly, an 8-game audition. Let's not worry about that mountain of evidence. Just ignore the part where he was the one who oversaw the biggest collapse in NFL history against the Vikings. Or the fact that he lost to the Texans in Week 18 when they were trying to lock up the number one pick and had to lose to get it. Don't worry about any of that. And definitely do not listen to any of anybody around you begging you not to do this. Man, you know better. You damn near invented the game of football, Jim. You know that. You know how to build a winner. You've done everything on every level. You are a winner. You know exactly what all those stop signs that everybody in your life is throwing up are for, therefore ignoring. You know better than any of your football people. You know better than any people. You're Jim Bleeping Irsay, man. You got a private jet and a phone, and you're not afraid to use either one of them. You blow right through those stop signs, yo. Your team, dude. You're a team player. Do what the hell you want. Do what the hell you want. Ignore those people except to remind them that you just happen to be in the upper quartile of the top quartile of winners. Who the hell are they? What the hell have they ever accomplished? Even if that's not actually accurate. Even if it's not accurate that the Colts have been in the upper quartile of the top quartile of winners. Whatever the hell that means. Just ignore that. Hey, listen, my man, don't listen to anybody or anything except that voice in your head, which continues to tell you to bring back the flapjack flipper.
Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody in there?
Can I get a short stack with syrup? I'd like some strawberries, maybe even some whipped cream. We're talking about IHOP. I love all those funky flavored maple syrups. Is that boysenberry? I never even knew they made it. Strawberry, boysenberry, passion fruit. I could drink it right out of the bottle. Chocolate chip, banana, whipped cream. How about mixing some silver dollar pancakes? Hello, hello, hello. I am not high. You're hired, Coach Wednesday. This is so good. It's such a great show. Not this show. I mean their show. The Coach Irsay Saturday show. The pancake flipping, hot take having, morning show screaming, high school coach. Bring him back. Coach Wednesday already made his case. He told us he's got a clear vision of how to turn that team around, even though we saw no signs of that vision during the half of the year that he was there. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because he told us that the Colts are not nearly as far away as everybody thinks they are.
Yeah, not nearly as far as y'all think. I've seen some articles here recently, so I can assure you a lot of shots fired, and I don't think we're nearly as far off as you guys believe we are.
In other words, you're keeping receipts. He sounds exactly like you, Jim. You're perfect together. You, Coach Tuesday, Rocket Chips, sausage making, the CIA. Indy's a great town. It all fits together perfectly. Listen, my man, I know you're on your own planet, Irsay, but that's all that matters. Deep down, in that mind of yours, that beautiful mind of yours, you know what you want. Get it over with. Man, do it. Pull the trigger. Hire this guy. Do it. You know you want to. Run it back. Run it back. Run it back. Hello, hello, hello.
A lot of shots fired.
Is there any butterscotch syrup out there? Can I get another serving? Why are there ants crawling into that syrup? Is it? Not an all-you-can-eat pancake brekkie. Can I get a side of bacon? Maybe some sunny side eggs up too. Sausage. Man. Dude, my mind is now infected. I gotta get out. Marcus Jones coming up next. Just do it, Jim. Just do it. Hire your dude. Four NFL teams, two conference championship games. Only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get 200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championships and get 200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code ROME, R-O-M-E. Must be present in state where it is lawful to wager. Age does vary by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Void in Ohio and Ontario. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. Deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions do apply. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. Nice to be with you. No, check that. Great to be with you. Hump Day. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a member of the New England Patriots, a cornerback and a kick returner. He had an amazing rookie year. 85th pick overall out of Houston. First team All-Pro. I just said that. A first team All-Pro in his rookie season. Led the NFL in punt return yardage. First player in 45 years to score TDs on offense, defense, and special teams in the same season. We are joined right now by Marcus Jones. Marcus, it is great to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to be on here.
It's great to have you on here. All right, so listen, let me start first with, I understand that it's all about the team. It's all about team goals, period. But as I mentioned, you had a tremendous rookie season. Most guys go their entire careers without earning first-team All-Pro honors, yet you accomplished it in year one. Were you expecting to make that kind of a dramatic impact right out of the box? And how pleased were you with the way things turned out for you and played out individually?
The main thing was just making sure that I know what was going on in the system. Not too much. Just making sure I was taking one day at a time and just making sure I know what to do on defense, special teams, or, you know, offense, wherever I was need to be to help the team.
Well, you certainly did all that. Let me break this down another way. You joined Deion Sanders as the only players, the two of you, with receiving touchdowns, a punt return touchdown, and an INT return for a TD in the past 45 years. Like, that is an incredible stat. What's it feel like knowing that you did something that's only been done one other time in the past 45 years in this league and that the other guy to do it is prime?
Yeah, that's crazy. I looked up to Deion ever since I was little, playing around, being DB, and just watching him. And to be able to be in that elite company is amazing, and be able to have my name within next to his name is crazy.
Marcus Jones joining us. Listen, I think I'm not even giving you enough credit. Here's the fact. Here's the kicker. Prime did it. He did it too, but he did it over a 14-year Hall of Fame career. You did it over the course of a couple of weeks. Like, it's mind-blowing. It's actually insane to me. Did it feel insane or surreal to you, or did it feel like you were just doing what you've always done, just gone out there and...
The way that I was thinking about it was then just making sure that I could help the team, you know, week by week, and it just collected to happen that way. I wasn't worried about the stats and everything. I was worried about the W at the end of the game, you know, trying to put our team in the right place to win the game. So whenever that ended up coming up, I was like, oh, that's crazy to hear.
Marcus Jones joining us. All right, so why don't we talk about a few of these plays? You got Joe Cool. You got Joe Burrow on that pick six on Christmas Eve. What did you see on that play? What do you remember about that play?
That play, I was just making sure that I was reading my schemes right, making sure that my eyes were in the right place. And I seen him throw it, and I was just like, let me make sure I catch it first. Then I ended up catching it and just going down the sideline to follow my blocking and everything like that. And my teammates were definitely blocking and making sure that they don't get any penalties or anything like that. And just following my blocking, that was the main thing.
Marcus Jones joining us. Also, you don't see guys do this very often. You don't see guys take it to the house and then walk it off, but that's essentially what you did when you had that explosive punt return in Week 11 against the Jets. You went 84 yards to the house with 5 seconds left in a 10-3 win. Did you think they were going to kick it out of bounds and like take that opportunity away from you? And ultimately, what did you see on that play?
Yeah, with the time on the clock, I was thinking that they were going to kick the ball out of bounds, but I was making sure that I was in the right position to where if they do kick it, we can hopefully make a play. And as soon as I caught it, I ended up seeing basically my teammates in the right spot and everything. And I just went down the sideline and my teammates just had the wall over there set. And I just made sure to make sure that I got through there. And then I seen the kicker and I was like, let me go ahead and make sure I get away from him and make sure he don't tackle me by my shoelaces or anything. So after that, I was just like, I just got to make sure I keep running.
Well, I bet, dude, there's no way you let the kicker make a play on you. Not in that situation. Marcus Jones joining us. Now, I'm hearing it pretty clearly. You're going to do what you have to do. You're going to do what's asked of you. You're going to do what's best for the team, obviously. But you're somebody who's also proven that you can make an impact in all three phases of the game. I mean, if it were up to you, where would you like to make the greatest impact? Where would you like to be?
I like to be defense, DB. Whether that's in the slot or outside, that's the main thing I play my role in. I'm a defensive back first, and however I can help the team after that, you know, offense or defense, then I mean offense or special teams, then I'm cool with that as well.
I get it. Marcus Jones joining us. Obviously, though, you acclimated really quickly. I'm curious about special teams. I mean, you seem to know exactly what you're doing. However, it does help when you've got some incredible special teams pros around. As an example, what's it like to watch Matthew Slater and the way he comes to work, the way he prepares, the way he goes about his business every single day? What's that been like for you?
Just watching him is showing the professionalism, making sure that you know what to do, how to present yourself around people, you know, how to treat people as well. And no matter how many years that he's been in the league, he treats every day the same. So just being consistent and just making sure that you know how to make your assignment and know how to just basically do what you have to do.
Marcus, every single great player I've ever spoken to, I mean, literally over the years, will say exactly that. It's all about consistency. Consistency in the way you work, consistency in the way you prepare, consistency in your process. The very best ones are the ones who consistently do the things that maybe they don't want to do, and they just do them over and over again, right? Because they know that they'll be better for it. Let me ask you this. What is the best advice that Bill Belichick has ever given to you other than do your job?
Taking everything day by day. You know, there's going to be ups and downs. So basically just, I mean, it's kind of to back on a consistency as well, but just taking everything day to day, go one play at a time. And whenever that play come, you know, there's going to be plays whenever you don't have it your way, but scratch that off your mind and go on to the next play.
Talking to Marcus Jones. Listen, I understand that you're worried about yourself and your responsibilities. I'm curious where you come out on what happened to Mac Jones this year. Like, I'm a big Mac guy. I thought he had a great, great rookie year. There was certainly some regression this year. Not all his fault. He was dealing with a lot of things. Do you think that he can bounce back to the way he played his first year or maybe surpass that?
Oh, for sure. I'm behind that guy 110%. I've seen his work ethic throughout the whole system and everything. How we take up on things, watching film. He's a top-tier guy when it comes to preparation. So I'm behind him 24-7.
So what's your response to Bill O'Brien coming back as the offensive coordinator? What do you think that'll mean to him in the offense?
I feel like that it would be one of those situations to where they've been under each other's tree type stuff before. And I just feel like that Mac is going to be ready to work, and I feel like Coach O'Brien is going to be ready to work as well. So whenever that comes about, we'll handle that.
Talking to Marcus Jones. So it's your first NFL offseason. I'm curious, how are you approaching it? Like, have you been watching playoff games as a fan like everybody else? Or if you're not participating, are you really not watching? And are you focused on getting your rest and recovery and your process?
I'm still going up on my recovery and rest and everything, but I still have to watch the NFL, you know, being part of it. And also was a fan whenever I was little. I like to watch and still maintain and see what's going on and how the season goes.
Glad to hear it. All right, so leave me with this. I mentioned you got Joe Burrow on Christmas Eve. How impressed are you with him and the Bengals? And then how do you see that matchup, Kansas City and Cincinnati on Sunday? Great matchup. Obviously, there's some injuries, but a great matchup. Who do you like there?
Those are two great top tier quarterbacks. Joe is definitely a great quarterback when it comes to reading defenses and putting the ball where it needs to be put. And then Pat Mahomes just has that veteran quarterback style to where he knows where to go with the ball. And if that's not open, then he's going to move out with his feet and put the ball where it needs to be as well. So I honestly can't choose on who's going to win and everything like that. So I'm just going to have to sit back. It's going to be a great game, though.
Listen, one quick thought. You just mentioned, like, Patrick, if he's got to move out with his feet, he can and improvise and make things happen. If he can't, though, because of that high ankle sprain, how dangerous do you think that he still is, even if he can't get out and move around?
I believe he's still dangerous due to the fact of his arm. He could put the ball wherever he wants to. So, I mean, with the ankle situation, you can't overlook his arm as well. So you got to be careful about that.
Well, I agree. He is a first-team All-Pro as a rookie. He had an amazing rookie with the Patriots. He was the 85th pick overall in the draft out of Houston. Marcus Jones, our guest. Marcus, great to have you on the show. Really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Great having you. Marcus Jones, Patriot. And again, he had a historic season. Imagine doing something that's only been done one other time in 45 years, and it was done by Deion Sanders, and it took Deion Sanders his entire Hall of Fame career to do it, and Marcus Jones did it in the period of a few weeks. I mean, it's astounding. It's an incredible stat. He had a great, great rookie year, and his future obviously is extremely bright. All right, so quick timeout. When we come back, we are open. I want to talk about the Lakers. Clippers got him again last night. Change up, talk some basketball. Also, we're talking hockey today. Future Hall of Famer, one of the great leaders in the game, Steven Stamkos, got to goal number 500 for his career recently. I want to break that down, get his thoughts, touch base with him. Just in about time we talk some hockey. And in the meantime, if you have anything you want to react to, you know where to find me. 1-800-636-8686. Let's get you a sports update. Here it is. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, clones. Remember, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. That way you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Robin Green Bay makes an interesting observation. He writes, I find it interesting how your conversations with elite athletes always find their way to common themes and outlooks of the Reinvention Project. It's clear that highly successful people share a certain mindset and daily habits. Thank you for always tying it together. Robin Green Bay. All right, two thoughts on that. Number one, you nailed it. You're exactly right. What do all successful people have in common? What's a common thread? A certain mindset and daily habits. You nailed that. Number two, what's curious, though, to me is when you say that these conversations with elite athletes find their way to common themes and outlooks on the Reinvention Project, I don't very often speak to athletes on the Reinvention Project. So you're right. These are common threads and themes that run and get woven into the entire thing. Athletes, performers, business people, school teachers, housewives, stay-at-home dads, whatever. Wherever you're trying to achieve, there are these common threads and themes. And the reason I kind of bring it together is that's kind of the way my mind works. Like, I want to get guests on that are interesting to you, and then I want to ask them things that are interesting to you. However, I am the host. I am conducting the interview, so I'm going to ask them things that are interesting to me. And that's kind of the way my mind works, more now than ever before. There is your pitch for the side hustle to the side hustle, the Reinvention Project with a new host. We change companies. We have a new relationship. We're going to debut with a new host, a media company called Cloud 10. And that's going to start this week. That's why I've taken a few weeks off and I have not populated or pushed out any new eps of that, because we've been in the process of moving it over, moving the library over. There's like 57 or 58 episodes. I think you should check it out. I talked to somebody at the University alumni game. One of the dads said to me, "Jim, I've been meaning to tell you this. I haven't had a chance, but I'm part of a group, and it's a group of executives, and we all meet. We all get together, and we talk about business and life and achievement and success and process, and I've been turning some of these guys onto your podcast, and they love it." He said, "Even better, my high school son listens," and that to me is the best compliment of all. Like, if you're my age and you're thinking about, all right, so how do I reinvent, or how do I get unstuck, or how do I get out of this rut, or how do I get more energy? That would stand a reason. I love, though, that the message resonates with high school kids. Because when you get right down to it, not to get too deep in the weeds on this, what I'm trying to figure out for myself is, how do I make sure the next 25 years of my life are my best 25? And I mean across the board. Personally, professionally, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's my thing. I mean, that's just my deal. That's what I'm trying to figure out. And I've gotten some really good ideas in pursuit of this. But the message that I'm also trying to impart is, it doesn't matter where you are in life. You should all be asking yourselves, how do I make the next 25? No matter how old you are or where you are, the best 25. Now, when I say new podcast host, I mean new podcast platform host. I did not find somebody to host the Reinvention Project with insert moron clone who's going to reinvent the thing as a show of bum smack and personal appearance and all the things you're not allowed to talk about. New podcast platform host. Not new podcast host. Do not send your resumes. It's not the Reinvention Project with Geoff. It's not the Reinvention Project with James Kelly. Join me, James Kelly, as I destroy the English language every single week. It's a new podcast platform host. Cloud 10 Media. All right, so there is that. What else do we have here? At the One Rob Star. Homie, the worst part for me as a Colts fan was late this season when I learned Ursay was 63. Yes, the rugged, rawhide-looking, gravel and phlegm gargling, three-pack-a-day, heater-torching, indie rocker isn't 84 in that golf cart. He's 63 with, quote, 20 good years in him. Please help. What do you mean, please help? What would you like me to do about that? What can I do about that? Again, personal appearance is not show fodder, but maybe I'll find a loophole and react to that. Yeah, my man does not look 63. Listen, some people are blessed with certain genes. Maybe in his case, 63 is the new 83. I don't know. When you say please help, what do you mean? What do you want me to do? You want me to help? What? Do I look so great for my age? I mean, I would argue I look sometimes better than others. I think that there are people my age that look better than me, and then there are people who are younger than me that look much worse than me. No names mentioned, Rit. However, if you're asking me, please help. All right, I guess I could help, Jim. I mean, I don't want to know how the sausage is made. We're not going to Mars, but in terms of personal appearance, the fact that that dude is only 63, I think you make a fair point. Frankly, he looks older than that. Please help. I don't know. Advice? My man, moisturize. My guy, hit that with some Nivea. Dude, maybe some SPF? maybe push back from that tanning bed? Maybe knock it down to 2 packs a day? I don't know, dude. He's got a point. You're not a great 63, Jimbo. But then again, mentally, maybe you're 43. Or maybe you're 83. I don't know, dude. Kind of hard for me to make any arguments in behalf of him other than, dude, do not change whatever you do. Do not change a thing. He said, my biggest thing was when I found out he was only 63. I thought that rugged, rawhide-looking, gravel and phlegm-gargling, three-pack-a-day heater-torching indie rocker was 84 in that golf cart. Yet he's 63? It's a rough 63. I got to admit, I didn't know that. I play that game with Dodger Jano all the time. She'll say, how old is so-and-so? I'm like, wait, let's guess. If Dodger Jano would hit me with, yo, Jimmo's, how old is that guy that you always talk about on the show who owns that team? I'll say, Jim Irsay, how old? I'm going to say 74. That's being kind, right? 63? My man, you got to hit that with some Nivea at least. I understand product is really expensive, and it's a big-ass ripoff. By the way, I don't really know because I don't work in a department store, but I'll bet you they take Nivea or the equivalent, and they wrap around some super, super fancy branding and packaging, and you get the same crap, except they charge you $300 for it. Whatever it is, something's better than nothing, man. Your skin is begging you for it. Hit that with some Nivea, dude. Or something. Go to the drugstore.
Please.
At Jeff's a Badass is a great handle. Unless it's actually him. Hey, Romy, I love pizza. To the point where I look like a pizza. Signed, Johnny Zidiot. Face.
Johnny Idiot Face.
Were people getting veggies on their pizza and saying it's health food now? Can't really help acne. It's not really his fault. I don't go in on people for things that are beyond their control. If you can fix it and you don't, then it's kind of fair game. At Kurt Orban Test. That's a throwback. Kurt Orban. I would love to be the new host of the Reinvention Project. Alvy, get the butthole montage ready for frequent use.
Butthole.
It then would be known as the Butthole Project. Kurt Orban. Here's the thing. You don't need to take over the Reinvention Project. You can do what anybody else who owns a smartphone does. Turn it on. Bam, you have a show. The barrier to entry is extremely low. Anybody walking around on this planet with a phone can have a show. You don't need to try and gravy train or take one of mine. And NoCal Vic, quote, I guess you could say Jim Irsay really hit the wall. Is there any Nivea out there? I should splash it on my face. Yeah, it is. 63. That's not. Is there any moisturizer there? 63. Cucumber slices on my eyeballs. And maybe actually drink some water later. All these things lead to dehydration. Dehydration leads to your face looking like a catcher's mitt. I mean, I don't think I need to be an esthetician or a dermatologist to know that. Hydrate, yo. Like cigarettes, smoking them, my non-scientific reaction to that is they just suck the moisture right out of your face. They suck the face right out of your face. is it me or can you not judge that book by its cover? If somebody puts down 1, 2, 3 packs a day and has done it for more than 1 or 2 or 3 years, don't you know that by looking at them? I know you know it by smelling them. But don't you know that by looking at them? Look at their face.
Slider.
It's a thing now. Holy crap. Jim Irsay is only 63. We can't wait for next year so we can hear him cover The Beatles when I'm 64. Sincerely, the losers who paid money to hear him cover Comfortably Numb. I think it's just perfect. What happened to the Margot reaction? There's some Margot in there that is in Market on Topic. It's got something to do with Comfortably Numb. Let me find this right quick. I do have thoughts on the Lakers. Steven Stamkos will be joining me also next hour. Phone lines are open if you want them. Here it is. Hello, hello, hello. Do you want to hear my Bills take? Just nod if you can hear me. I'll call you on the phone. Signed, Margo in Buffalo.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Do you want to hear my Bills take?
Hello.
Not really. Not at all, Margo.
Hello.
Goodbye. All right. So next hour, find another show to listen to. Steven Stamkos at 11:20. Do not forget about the Jim Rome podcast. We're going to push that out after the program. It is a good one. Episode 252. Jared Allen is my guest. Stay tuned. Come on, Jared.